them for number one spot.
I'm coming
that's
for
it.
You,
Jamie. That's it. She's coming for
you.
You've
done a million laps.
Yeah, that's it.
In a
hello and welcome to Verge's Alternative F1 Podcast. We are lucky to be joined by the amazing Tasmin Pepper. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so I'm obviously here with my co-host, my partner in crime, Matthew Connell. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. You know what? I feel like as pre-recording chats have gone, I think Tasmin's already top of the charts. It's not like she's caught enough being a W Series racer, but she's already like roasted you on your barbecuing skills. She's roasted the fact that we're
she's
in a
just
heat
been
wave.
Gutting me left, right,
she
and center, gutting us.
This British summer is like winter in the morning. So already, I've got all kinds of feelings about her right now, and it's great. It's great to have you on, Tasmin.
Yeah, so, good to be there. Thanks, guys.
Tasmin, how have you been doing with the lockdown over in South Africa? Are you in South Africa at the moment?
Yeah, I'm in South Africa. For the beginning bit of lockdown, I was actually at home, and but our company's back up and running. So we're an essential service. So I've been working full time for like the last 3 weeks now, and so coming in and out of work, and then being stuck at home on the weekend. So it's a bit frustrating considering we're always out and about, either traveling or, you know, doing our outdoor sports and stuff like that. So it's getting to me a little bit, but, you know, we got to stay safe and we got to oblige by the rules, I guess.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's quite interesting, like this lockdown thing. Like, it's definitely messed, especially for like pro sports, it's definitely changed a lot of stuff up. And of course, F1, W Series, anything, there's a lot of you guys waiting to get racing again. Of course, you were lucky enough to get to race W Series last year, but has it been useful to have this time to wait, or is it frustrating? Do you get more preparation out of it, or is it kind of everyone kind of stands still? Because of course it's great that you've managed to scratch the itch and get to race. Some people are like, come on, I just want to race.
Yeah, well, it's actually quite frustrating because you've already, like, we had a set plan of when we were going to start everything, when we were going testing. And so you kind of like built up to that point from last year up until like it was about to start, like now. So I had my own pre-test planned as well in Spain, which I wasn't able to go to. And then I was going to go W Series test. So, I mean, we've been out the car since August last year. It's a really long time. And we don't obviously have an F3 here in South Africa that I can just go to the track and test whenever I feel like. So it's very frustrating, especially building up with your like physically and like your mental training and your physical training and all of that. And now everything sort of came to a halt. I mean, it hasn't stopped me from training, but it's almost like we don't know when something's going to happen. So it's like almost like you've kind of put a block to it right now because we don't know any news.
So while you're waiting around, what are you doing to be able to keep yourself occupied? Like, you into movies, or you know, obviously you're working very hard, harder than us. You know,
well, not right now.
When you put us to shame already, just put that in straight away. So what are you doing to keep yourself occupied? For fun, I'd say.
Like you said, I'm working, so I'm coming into work I'm here at 6:30 in the morning, and I'm leaving like 4:30 in the afternoon, and then I get home and I got to clean the house and I got to do my training. But I've actually set up a gym at work, so I'm able to train while I'm at work in the middle of the day. That's the nice thing about working with your parents.
Yeah, what is it you do? Because you said before the call that you guys are
an essential service.
Yeah, essential service.
So we manufacture plastic bottles. So we got all the medical bottles and your hand sanitizer bottles and all of that type of stuff. So we've been flat out working with that and getting out as much as we can, because obviously it's really needed at the moment.
That's just really good. It's very honourable. So that's a complete, utterly different, pace of, work of what you normally do.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that's why it's so frustrating, because we're not being able to do what we normally get up to. I mean, I don't, like, we work Monday to Friday, and on a weekend, if I'm not racing or at the racetrack, we're playing golf or we're doing something, riding our mountain bikes, or we're always active. And now we are literally not allowed out the house. The only time we are allowed out is between 6 and 9 in the morning, and from 6 to 7 it's dark. So, and it's 7 degrees, so it's freezing for us.
Oh my
and,
God.
Like every other time I'm at work during the week from 6 in the morning. So I can't do that morning training session outside or whatever it may be. So like lockdown is quite strict here at the moment. We're still on level 4. And I don't think it's going to be easing up anytime soon.
It's such a weird time in the world at the moment, where like normally something like this happens and it's like one country and they're dealing with it and everyone's trying, you know, praying for them and hoping for them to get better. It's the whole world is on lockdown. So everyone's got something to relate to. So, so we have some colleagues in Miami who've just literally now just been let free. And the first thing people are talking about is, well, I've got to go get my hair cut. I've got to go get my hair cut. And it's just like, and then there's other people that we speak to who can't even leave the house. So it's just the weirdest time.
I know. And I feel like some of the countries that have been hit the hardest are the ones who are like eased up so much. I mean, Spain, the people that I was going to be testing with, they've already said, yeah, this week they're getting back to the track. So it's like some places that were hit so hard initially are already sort of going back to normal life. And then other places that initially weren't hit that hard are still under such like hectic lockdown restrictions. So it's, everything is so different and you don't know actually who's where.
Yeah, it's a weird time. But allow us to cheer you up in this meantime to give you some entertainment. So
entertain you guys.
Yeah. I'm telling you, she's just been gunning us the whole entire time. It's brilliant. Absolutely amazing. So let's go to the right from the beginning. So you've got a family history in racing. So how did you, tell us the whole process that you getting into racing? I know you've answered this 1,000 times.
Yeah, and it's a long story, hey? So you guys ready for this?
Yeah, that's it.
We've got a long lockdown. Okay, so my dad raced his entire life. He initially actually started in motocross and then went into main circuit racing once he broke his back. So he recovered from all of that, and his dad raced as well. So I was first born, and before I was born, my dad already bought me a Pee Wee 50. So he was adamant that I was going to be a boy and that I was going to race motocross. and then, it turned out that I was a girl. So, and I was always at the racetrack. I was at the racetrack with my dad from 2 weeks old. And my mom and I traveled with my dad around country while he raced. And I was actually on the side of a go-kart track, and I saw a girl in a pink go-kart. And it always like fascinated me that I only even knew of her. So I never knew of any other girls, but I was still too young at this moment. And we went to fetch a go-kart, my dad's go-kart, from being fixed. And they had 2 50cc cadet carts lying there. And I asked my dad, can you buy it for us? And he ended up buying both, one for me and one for my cousin, and took us actually to a shopping center and taught us in the parking lot how to stop and how to go. Like the first thing was how to stop, because this was the most important thing, okay? And he tied like a rope at the back and chased us around the parking lot, making sure that we couldn't escape. And that's how we began. And from then, I've been at the racetrack, I've grown up there. We did karting up until 15 years old, until I was old enough to progress into main circuit racing. The first main circuit race I did was a Formula Ford. I raced that for 4 years. And then I did Formula Volkswagen and also raced Formula BMW in Asia and did the championship in Asia while trying to finish my final year of school. So my school results weren't the
school,
best.
School just got in the way, huh?
Yeah, literally. And then we kind of, single seaters died down a lot in South Africa, and so I progressed into saloon car racing, into a Polar Cup. It's a one make series, front wheel drive, 6 H pattern gearbox, and it's like they literally call it a shopping cart on wheels, you know. It's just it's very difficult to drive, but very competitive racing. And I've been racing that until I got the opportunity to get involved in W Series.
I'm glad you noticed that I didn't know what you were talking about when you talked about some of the specs of the cars. When you see me blinking, I was just like, so I saw that you had to explain it. Like, so thank you for that one. I appreciate that one. No one saw that one.
It's an educational podcast. That's the most important.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, he doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about. It's a car with wheels.
Yes. Front wheel drive.
What was like the biggest like transition, like when you moved into W Series? What were the biggest differences that you noticed about how you would have to technically drive, preparation? But did you feel like you had to reshape your skill sets, or did it feel quite natural moving and transitioning into that?
Well, it was actually really difficult, like a very difficult transition, because I've come now from a front wheel drive car, something that hardly has any horsepower. A lot of body roll movements and stuff like that. I did race single seaters, but I'd raced them 7 years ago. So that jump initially was hard. And now I'm going back like a reverse jump. And it's almost like just training your brain to do the opposite thing as what you would do from a front wheel drive to a rear wheel drive single seater car. I mean, the first time I got into the front wheel drive car from the single seater, I actually rolled the car simply because I got off the throttle when I lost the rear, instead of getting on the throttle to drive it out, and ended up spinning into the gravel and rolling. And it was kind of like the same going from the front wheel drive now to the single seater. You have to lift off the throttle when you're losing it, and instead of getting on the throttle. So it's almost like you kind of have to train your body and your mind and everything to just now start reading it completely different. And the single seaters that I used to race had nothing compared to the W Series car that I raced in and competed in last year. So training your brain about the downforce and being able to trust the car. And I mean, that's where I struggled a lot. It's not initially like the driving points, but just knowing that the car is capable to do the things that it can do, and you just trusting that it can do it. And then there's also the physical aspect. I mean, the first time we got in the car in Spain, when we were still trying to get into W Series, I couldn't do more than 3 laps. And I was just saying, like, how am I going to do a 30-minute race when I can't compete?
What did you notice? So physically, it was just so different on your body.
Yeah, I mean, the track was really difficult, and there was a lot of corners that were all in the same direction. So there was a lot of load on your neck and your shoulders, and because we weren't all very comfortable in the car, because it was quite a process of getting comfortable, and because there were so many of us to get through, you weren't 100% comfortable. And I found I was a little bit too close, so I was purely driving just from the top of my shoulders, and it was eating up my shoulders so much. Wow. And I've also got a shoulder injury, so it was kind of like I hadn't trained enough or had enough strength in my shoulders, due to the fact that the cars that I've been racing had power steering, so it didn't really affect me. And getting into the single seater, there's no power steering, there's no ABS, there's no none of that. So it was just now having to get physically capable to drive the F3 over being physically capable to drive the Polo Cup car that I've been racing for the last 6 years.
I think that's the unknown thing. Like, a lot of people underestimate with motorsport. And yeah, the speeds are like nothing else. But then people just think it's like, yeah, just jumping into a car and having a jolly and having a fun time. It's not like, you know, like, even like go-karting, like you notice physical effects. And for me, but even me karting, I sound like a complete wimp. But I'm like, I can literally, my hands are like, I feel like my hands are almost crippled. So for you, when you noticed that those physical effects were having such an impact, how did you kind of strategize kind of preparing your training to be different? Do you kind of go to your teams to seek for that advice? Do you kind of take it upon yourself to find trainers, or do you speak to other like racers to support that?
So W Series actually had Hinsa was involved with us, and they helped us with our training. So they were there throughout the entire process. And so in Spain, they were obviously there helping us and guiding us with regards to what is important to train and what isn't. And they sort of gave us programs to work on where we felt we struggled the most. So there was that aspect, but I also then got a cart when I got back, and I started karting again. So I'd been out of karting for about 3 years because I actually went back a couple of years ago and went into a shifter, into that 6-speed shifter, and really enjoyed that for 3 years after being out of karting for so long. And you actually forget how physically tiring a go-kart is. Like you said, like your hands get sore and your neck gets sore. So that's what I used a lot, and it helped a lot because you're not just training in the gym and getting your shoulders strong or your legs strong, like you're actually physically driving. And because it was the only thing I could drive, I wasn't able to test the F3 car. It helped me a lot with my driving capabilities inside the car. And it definitely progressed, like from the Spain test till the first official test that we did in W Series. I could do a full 30-minute session without like really struggling. So that gave me a lot more hope for the first round of the championship.
What's been like your biggest, influence? Of course, like you got your family that actually can support and understand the kind of challenges for racing. But for yourself, what are any kind of key inspirations for yourself, like going through this racing journey? Because of course, like with South Africa, I'm going to butcher these names, but like J.D. Scheckter, Desiree Wilson. So there hasn't been too many South African racers. So what's been most influential for you, inspiration-wise?
Yeah, I say Desiree Wilson is. She's one of the only females, especially to come out of South Africa, who actually made a name for herself and did the things that some of us aren't capable to do. I mean, coming from SA, we don't have our exchange race is quite difficult. We have a lot of talent in South Africa, but because our exchange rate is so bad, we're unable to actually compete overseas. My inspiration, like I always say, has always been my dad, and he's always been someone who's gone out and done everything and achieved everything that he could, and he's never given up on anything. And then you have my younger brother. I mean, it sounds silly because he's younger than me, right?
Yeah, but, Jordan's got the racing hype as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's made such a name for himself as well. And, you know, he had to sacrifice a lot. But to go overseas, I mean, he finished his matric year, his final year of studies, and went straight overseas to Germany and was living there all by himself at the age of 18 years old, just to pursue his dream, you know, to make a career out of motorsport. And I think he's kind of given me that push that I needed, because I was very much in a comfort zone here in South Africa. I was racing, I was being able to do what I love doing. But obviously knowing that we didn't have the funds to go back overseas, and giving my brother the opportunity to do what I'd already tried to do, I kind of just got into a comfort zone here in South Africa and was competing and was very competitive. And like, I mean, the year before W Series, I finished second in the championship against all the guys. And, you know, I was the only girl who was racing, and it was just, it worked. And I knew that that's where I was going to be. And when W Series opportunity came up, I decided to try for it. But I think if it wasn't for my brother, I don't think I would have had that push to do it.
Is there like a competitive rivalry?
I'm sensing it. No. We've actually never raced against each other.
What?
In a full grown championship. He is 6 years younger than me. So, when
you still want to put him in his place a little bit, no?
we're competitive in everything we do, but we've never competed really on the racetrack.
It's always important just to make sure that you put your foot in his neck a little bit, just a bit, just so he understands.
Yeah, no, he knows. He knows I'm the older sibling, that's for sure.
What have you learned most about being involved in W Series? You know, what's the things that stick out?
Sure, that's a hard question, actually.
Because you finished 10th. You finished 10th.
You see? Because
you finished 10th. You're
doing it. You've
got 10th overall.
Like, well, you've got some really real journalists here. Hard-hitting questions.
Well, I've definitely learned to speak in front of the camera a little better. So that's one thing.
Talking to us weirdos, it helps.
Yes. See, I'm not like just serious now, okay? I know before it would be like, oh, so much these questions. I don't know the answers. I think it's all, I've learned a lot about communication with regards to engineers and mechanics. Here in South Africa, my dad, I've been racing in my dad's team. So, you know, it kind of, you get out the car and you're like, Dad, it's handling terribly, please fix it kind of thing, you know? So yeah. You kind of, there's no like rules or regulations inside the little team that we had. So
is it difficult to like go from obviously with your dad's team, because obviously you're comfortable with everyone as you was just alluding to, but yeah. Getting to a point where you're complete strangers who you don't, well, or people that you're getting to know. Yeah. You're saying this isn't working, like, and not feeling awkward and rude.
Well, it actually really was difficult because, I mean, we couldn't actually get used to anyone. We couldn't get used to an engineer. We obviously got to know all of the engineers and all the mechanics during the season, but we couldn't ever get used to dealing with one specific person because every race we had a different engineer, a different car, and a different mechanic. Okay. So it's like you start getting comfortable with someone over the race weekend and it's like, okay, bye. I'll see you from the other side of the paddock. And then you've got someone else that's going to be like, you've got to now get used to. So I think the communication and learning to adjust to different engineers and different mechanics and how they work and how they give you information and how you got to feedback information towards them. I think that's the biggest thing that I had to learn last year.
So last year was obviously you're bedding in, you know, into racing, because I think, you know, a few of the other drivers have had a bit more experience with those types of cars than you.
Yeah.
Is it, do you feel like, obviously last year you came 10th. Do you feel like now you're more comfortable, you can push on from that?
Definitely. I think I kind of, last year was a big learning curve. Obviously learning about the car and different characteristics that the F3 has to offer. And then also going into this year, I felt a lot more prepared because I already knew what to expect. I mean, you had gone to different tracks. So you weren't just learning the car all the time. You were learning the track, because I'd never been to any of the tracks we raced at. So that it would be a lot better in the second season. Not that we're going to be racing at all the tracks we raced at last year. We're still obviously going to have a few new tracks. But I think just already knowing what the car does, you only really have to focus on the track and getting fast on the track, not necessarily adjusting to the car all the time and, you know, what characteristics it has from track to track, you know. I think I was getting comfortable always because I wasn't able to test. I was always finding myself on the Friday practice, you know, learning the car again. Every setup was different from race to race as well. So it's not like the setup changed slightly from race to race. So you're learning that again, you're learning what the car does. And then you kind of have two practice sessions and then you straight into qualifying. And then the next day is the race, you know? Yeah. So I think this year I would have been a lot more prepped and prepared for it. And also knowing what to expect. And I think that would give us the upper hand. I mean, the W Series goals from last year over the new goals that are involved in this year.
See, we're coming for you, Jamie. We're coming for our number one spot.
I'm coming
that's
for
it.
You, Jamie.
That's it. She's coming for you.
You've got a million left.
Yeah, that's it.
That, and, exactly.
Hey, don't forget us when you're on that podium. I'm telling you that. I want to have a little, like, make it clear. It's you're saying hi to us. So what's your favourite track that you raced at the moment, obviously at the W Series at the moment?
Assen was actually my favorite race, really? Even though I messed up the race a little bit. I mean, it was the closest that I got to the pace in practice and qualifying.
Right.
And it was kind of like the race where I felt that I made the biggest jump forward. And then I made a mistake in the race where I ended up spinning out in turn one. So I didn't get to finish. I think that could have been possibly my highest finish of the season, just because I was already so much further up in my qualifying position than I had been in the previous races. So it was a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
But I think that definitely has to be still one of my highlighted races.
Well, we hopefully if we're allowed to come. Or if not, we'll be waving you.
I'll invite you. Okay, guys.
Yes.
You can come as my plus.
That
plus
was our whole point of this whole interview, just to get free
this
tickets.
This is it. This is the perfect networking tool. We've got this figured out.
Because you're coming over to the UK because I think they put out the races yesterday. You're going to be coming over to the UK twice. So it's Brands Hatch and Silverstone.
Yeah, but that's on our esport championship though, so I'm gonna still be in my own house, and we will be coming to the UK, but we won't be racing.
You couldn't just let that go, could you?
Correction on the spot, like that.
And it will be 100% sunny.
Have you been managing to prep for that? Yeah, because it's crazy, right? With the Sims, like. So some people, it's really weird because we've had it here, obviously in the F1 e-races that's been happening. We get like really weird, like cricketers and footballers like taking part in it, and they're getting their sim installation sorted out like ASAP. They're on the phone, someone's there in masks coming through, sorting out their sim set up. So question one is like, do you have a sim set up? Two, when did you get it set up? And three, how are you getting prepped for this W Series e-races that are coming up?
Well, I'm not obviously a lot like can test as often as the other girls are because I'm stuck at work for majority of the week.
Of course. So
don't expect anything fancy from me, guys.
Okay? All right, we got
warning. Yeah, pre
modest support. Modest support.
I've got to scrap that question. Next.
I do actually. I've had a sim setup since last year. That's actually how I was learning the tracks that we were racing at. So that's what prepped me for the tracks upcoming in the championship. So I did as many laps as, and it was actually set up at work so that I could sit when I had some free time and just did as many laps as I could in order to give myself the best possible chance when we got to the races. But W Series has actually sent us all out our own equipment so that we're all on a level playing field. So I'm still actually waiting for some of my stuff to get into the country. Apparently we live on the other side of the world. I don't know. Everything struggles to get
here. So far away. How dare you?
So far away.
South Africa making it hard.
Yeah, always, always, always. So yeah, everyone's going to have the same setup, which is going to be really cool. I mean, because some may have, you know, higher advanced equipment than others. I'm not very clued up in the whole sim setup. So I've been having my brother on the phone helping me out wherever I can.
It's not like the real stuff.
No, it's not. And it's actually, there's so much that goes into it. It's crazy. So I'm waiting to finish that setup. And once that's all up and running, then I can get some laps in and hopefully do as well as I can in the eSports Championship.
We had a really interesting, in a previous interview we had with Belen Garcia, who's waiting to do her first season W Series. I asked her a question about how she found out she was going to be a part of W Series. So she had she's obviously based in Spain, had a phone call from London. She was like, what's going on? So how did you find out, or how was the news broken to you that you were going to be a part of W Series?
Initially, okay, it was because we had obviously gone, the process was a bit different to what Belen was. We had to all apply, and there was over 100 applicants. And from that, they narrowed it down to the 60 odd that went to Austria for the first analysis. And that was actually told to us over email. So it was kind of like I received the email and I just left work, and I just immediately phoned my mom and my dad. I was like, oh my gosh, they accepted my application. Yay, I'm going to Austria. And they were like, okay, when? I was like, I don't know. I'm just telling you, I'm going. I don't know when it is. And so we were all excited about it. And I wasn't expecting it. I was hoping for it, but I wasn't expecting it to happen because we obviously didn't know how they were going to go through the applications and what it all entailed and how they were going to choose the applicants that they did. So I think they selected quite a variety of racing drivers, from like karting, only karting, some from, I mean, I had 25 years of racing experience. So there was ones like same as Emma and I are like the top age group of of W Series. So we're the oldest ones. And yeah, from there, I mean, Austria was probably the most nerve-wracking week of my entire life, because the entire time during it, they never told us what was like how, who was where and how the ranking was. And we were separated into different groups. So we could only watch the people that were in our group. So you had no idea until the end. And when they gave us the final news, it was also one of those R factor or X factor things where, okay, you table one, this is this. And they're just like, okay, what? You guys are through.
Yeah. Stand up. Now leave. It's like, wait, what? Bye.
It was exactly like that. Wow. So yeah, it was quite nerve-wracking, but probably one of the best experiences. I mean, I got to drive in snow for the first time and conditions that I never ever done before, so obviously I was very nervous because I'd never ever driven in such conditions. But yeah, and then from there we went to Spain, and that was another stressful week. And I actually didn't even think I was going to make it. I mean, up until the last day, I was kind of on the chopping block a little bit, purely because I was just struggling to do laps due to my shoulders being too sore to drive. And then the final day, I was just like, you know what? Today's the day. It's either win it or bin it kind of deal. And somehow secured my spot. And I mean, it sounds cliche, but it was a dream come true. I mean, if I didn't have W Series or never got into W Series, I wouldn't be competing internationally again. So it was an experience of a lifetime, and it still is an experience of a lifetime and something I'll never ever forget.
So what's your favorite thing about, like, at the moment about the race weekend? Like, you know, just guide us through it. Like, what's a typical race weekend prep?
What, leading up to race weekend, mm-hmm. or actual race weekend?
Race weekend, yeah.
Well, you know, it's getting to travel to all these different places and drive on racetracks that you've never imagined. We on DTM race weekends, and the production that they put together is crazy. I mean, there's trucks and fancy cars. And so to be involved in such a professional, professional scene. I did it in 2008 where I competed in the Formula BMW, and we actually raced at 3 Formula One races. So I've been involved in something like that, but to be permanently involved in it is something quite unreal. You know, like it didn't feel real. Like arriving at the racetrack on Thursday and putting your bags down and our W Series kits. And I think every race I went to was a new, like, exciting factor, like added more memories and got to, like, hang out with my friends. Even though we're competing against each other, we obviously all became very close. And it sounds silly, but we, like, competitive on track, but we are really good mates off of track. So it's, the whole experience is just really nice. I mean, there's no one, you never ever feel unsafe or in a funny position or anything. You feel comfortable, and everyone in the W Series team is really, really helpful and always there to give us feedback or to help us in any way they can and help us learn. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Do you guys, like, give each other tips? You know, obviously because you're new to some of the tracks. Did you get some advice from some of the more experienced drivers?
Yeah, well, I mean, some drivers obviously not going to always hand out information because they still want to beat you, even though you're friends. But a lot of the girls are very helpful. I mean, Jamie Chadwick, she was someone I went to all the time for feedback and for help. And she never ever held anything away from me. You know, she was always,
she wasn't like, you can find out yourself. How about that?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, she obviously knew that I wasn't, like, as high in the competition level. Well, that could take it away from her. And she had no reason, well, she still had a reason to not give me information, but I mean, she never ever held anything back from me and was always willing to help. But there's a lot of girls in the class that we always sort of helped each other, but still sort of kept something to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because you can't really give everything. But at the end of the day is we've all been through this together, and we've kind of been through W Series now together, and we've always been racing and competing against guys. And now this is our chance to learn and to grow from it and to be able to progress in our racing careers, you know. So to hold back all of these things, even though we're competing against each other, we're still going to be pushing each other to go and compete at the highest level possible and against guys, against goals, against whoever it is that we're racing against. And I think that's why we all sort of have each other's backs.
It's great because it has such a family, it sounds like it's got such a family feel. And I've always noticed in and around paddocks, it's such, in many different divisions of racing, it is actually a lot of feel-good vibes. And that's one of the things I noticed straight away, because in our backgrounds of me and Dre, like we worked around in football, soccer, American football, NBA and whatnot. So it's so different because, for example, in football here, you see every time teams are turning up, headphones on and music. It's like they look like enemies from their own teammates. But actually, that brings me on to like music, for example. So when I would play rugby, by the way, thank you, South Africa, for ruining the British summer. That broke our hearts. Can I just say, it was the worst way to do it because we were so confident that England were going to like win the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
And South Africa come and ruin everything. And it was raining. It was raining so much in London. So I was like walking away from a pub that I'd been in there since the early morning.
And so I was just added to your sorrow.
You rubbing it in.
Absolutely loving this.
We were celebrating at our sunshine. It was such a nice sunny day. We were having a few cocktails in the morning.
She's going to be wearing a jersey the next time you see her.
Exactly.
You're just like having the time of your lives. But you know what? It's like, I like competition. Love that moment. It was incredible. But for yourself, like in and around the track, like, do you listen? Is there anything you listen to? Because I used to listen to, before playing rugby, like the most obscene, loud, most aggressive music ever. Like, are you more of like a amp yourself up, or are you more of a chiller?
I actually don't really listen to music before I get in the car. I probably should, because it will kind of like keep me a little bit zoned out, because I actually work myself up so much before a race or before a session, especially in the W Series where I was uncertain. I was a little bit more uncertain of myself, especially in the beginning of the season. I obviously got a lot more comfortable as the season went by, but maybe I should listen to music, because I seem to work up myself so much that I actually like start shaking and I feel nauseous and I like want to get sick before I get in the car.
So you're not going to be nervous this season. You're going to be coming in, be listening to hip hop.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. I
mean, if you had to pick a song, like what's your favorite song at the moment? Like type of music you listen to? I won't embarrass you too much, don't worry.
I like old school music. So I like your 80s music and stuff. And I do enjoy, I actually listen to all kinds. I just don't listen to like rock and heavy metal, like headbanging stuff.
Might get you too aggressive on a track. It's a good idea.
Yeah, no way. I'm going to stay away from that. So I think that's the only thing I stay away from. But I listen to pretty much any type of genre of music.
I noticed you didn't give me a particular song. There's
I don't know any names of songs.
She slipped out of that one.
She's well trained. She gets the
I like that. Right. So I love barbecuing, and I consider myself, I'm up there in the championship of barbecuing.
Professional barbecuer.
Professional or barbecutioner, as I call myself.
Okay.
So, right. So before you embarrass me again, because she did this, Tasmin did this off air when I was trying to pronounce what they, well, I'm not going to do it, but what do you call barbecues in South Africa?
We call them a bra.
Bra. So,
Not a bra. Okay, guys. It's a bra. So it's BRAAI. Bra.
Bra.
A bra. A bra. Are we going for a bra? We're not going for a barbecue.
This is a low point in my career. I can't even pronounce barbecue. This is terrible. So I was looking for some tips. So like, what's a typical barbecue that you'd have in South Africa?
Okay, a typical bra.
Yeah, you know it. Let me live.
I'm still thinking this.
We'll have salad, because you obviously got to have your greens. Okay, yeah. We'll have they're called brookies, braai brookies. So it's sort of like a bread with garlic and cheese, and that gets put on the braai and like malts and tastes
fancy
really
garlic
good.
Bread.
This is sounding far too healthy for me. This is let's get to the stuff that's gonna end my life five years early.
You know, our meat in South Africa is really good. So we'd have some rump steak, some boerewors. You know what boerewors is?
No.
No.
Was it clear by my blank expression?
This podcast is going to change the barbecue game. Now the barbecue is about to change.
It's the quiz looks.
You guys are going to have boerewors in your shop soon. No, but you must know what boerewors is. Come on, guys.
Like the sausage?
Yes, like a sausage, exactly.
I was going to let you go for that one.
We can put chops. You know what chops are?
Well, like lamb chops.
Yeah, there you go. Good.
You got chops. See, I'm clowning us the whole time.
I'm gonna
tag you in when I make a traditional South African brah.
Brah.
I do it well this time.
Not brah. You saying brah? Like how's a brah?
I'm from Croydon. That's all. I'm from Croydon in London. We have to say brah. We can't pronounce things properly here.
In Croydon, they barbecue cars, not meat. That's what happens.
I'm gonna have to move out of this area now. I can't even leave here again.
You can't stay there anymore, and you wouldn't fit in South Africa. I'm sorry, you've got to be able to pronounce braai.
Right, so we'll be barbecuing in the UK, and we will show you and you what we can do, and then you can let us know whether we're doing well or not.
Okay,
so the next time we see
I'll tag you guys and you tag me. How's that sound?
No, you know what? I know Tasman's going to have some.
North versus South Hemisphere. This is big now. We've got a barbecue battle going on here.
I'll tell you what. No, Matt, I'll tell you what's going to happen here, because I think we're getting set up here. Tasman is going to have some amazing view and of the barbecue. So even if there's just like vegetables and stuff like on there, she'll just beat us just because of the view.
Oh, guys, I live in Joburg. I don't live in Cape Town. I'm going over that.
Ruined my whole theory.
I got a view of a pool. That's about as far as that.
That's better than what we got, trust me. So what's your future plans? So what are we looking like a few years on? So what goals do you want to accomplish?
Ultimately, BMW Series. I don't know if we're going to be racing this year. So W Series next year. and then ultimately there's no chance that I'm going to get to Formula One. So you've got to kind of kill that dream. And I kind of killed that dream quite a long time ago, but I'd love to be able to be a professional racing driver in either GT3 endurance racing, like my brother is. I think that is probably the most realistic goal. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a professional racing driver and competing and earning money, doing what I love, I mean, that's the ultimate goal. So, and that's what I'm heading for or aiming for. And W Series has kind of given me that push in that direction to keep going and to not give up. And they've given us this amazing opportunity. So you've got to learn and you've got to take in as much as you can and see where it takes us after that.
We never know what could happen. So we won't kill the F1 dream. We never know, because we're looking for passes from you. So, you know, we need you to push for that.
I was actually meant to drive an F1 like a couple of weeks ago before COVID-19 came about. So.
Stealing dreams, see? See what happens?
It was a disaster. It ruined so many things.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I could still possibly drive an F1. No, you never know. They might come back.
That's what we want to hit the championship as well.
I don't know if we're going to be racing at F1, guys, so don't hold your breath.
I want that big talk. Right? So first of all, I'm going to win the W Series championship. Then after that, I'm going to be racing for Red Bull or anywhere else.
There we go.
You see, that's what I want here.
I'd be the oldest one. Well, coming into
Formula 1. Because we're like,
at the age of 31,
right now, so
the first female racer.
We're not that old.
Come you on. Are not old in any form of way. I am old. I am old. Like my, you know, I've got a heat patch on my back at the moment.
You make sure you're sitting comfortably in the longest call you ever.
Someone has to move me off of this chair after you finish. It takes a few people.
Oh no.
Thank you so much, Tasmin. Honestly, this has been one of my favorite interviews, podcasts, you know, full stop. Like this is it's been a pleasure to be able to talk to you. You know, and we wish you all the work, the best for the future. And you have to promise us you're going to be coming back on.
Yes, good. Sounds good, guys. Thank you. I've had a nice break from my work, and it was actually a lot of fun talking to you guys. So thank you for having me, and look forward to seeing you guys soon.
So where can people find you on your Instagram, Twitter person?
Yeah, Instagram. Not so much Twitter, but I do have a Twitter handle. I'm trying to be better at this social media thing. So it's TJP31. All my handles are all the same.
And it's on your same on Instagram as on Twitter.
Exactly.
So the now there's no excuse for us not to get a follow as well. That's each week I pressure people to follow us on Instagram because I want
you follow me and I'll follow you back.
You see, I have to put myself out there.
It's follow for follow, isn't it?
I'm gonna do it straight
follow
after.
Follow still exists.
Yeah, hashtag follow for follow.
So I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna put that in one of your comments. Hashtag follow for follow.
Yeah, and then exactly.
All your fans will be like, "Who's this crazy nut?" No, thank you very much, guys, and obviously thank you for listening. We'll continue to give you as much good content as we possibly are, and obviously follow us on our Instagram profile at Alternative Sport and at VergeMag online on Twitter. Thank you, gentlemen, ladies listening. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you.